The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
The text for the sermon is the Gospel, especially the following verses. Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Please be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Ascension is an ending. It is the end of Christ's visible presence with his disciples and with his church. He is still with them, he is still with his church, but in a different mode of presence. But it is also a beginning. It is the beginning of the age of the church as we know it. Repentance and forgiveness of sins shall be proclaimed in Christ's name to all nations. Repentance and forgiveness had already been preached by John the Baptist. But now this preaching of the apostles comes from Christ's suffering and his resurrection, as John's preaching was leading up to these things. Repentance that comes from the cross sees in Christ's death God's righteous judgment over man's sin. It is difficult for fallen men to see the gravity of his lack of love for God and his fellow human beings. Fallen man thinks, is it really that bad? And the answer is, it is. And Christ's death is a brutal and bloody reminder of it, and more than a reminder. And it is also difficult for fallen man to take God's wrath over sin seriously and not to believe that in the end, God will not have such a strong and dark view of our problems. But not only unbelievers have difficulties to believe the severity of sin and the reality of God's wrath. Christians have that same problem. Because after all, they are sinners too. They have a problem to see that their resentment, their aggression, their malice, their gossiping, and loveless sarcasm are not just little foibles, but the evil vapors that come out of the swamp of sin. Therefore, repent of your sloth and callousness, which makes you handle the things holy like just something everyday things. It makes you to handle God's word and the divine service without reverence, without the joy and thankfulness that these great gifts deserve. Repent of your indifference to your neighbor. Repent of your lack of love of God's word. Repent of your grumbling about the difficulties of Hebrew and Greek instead of seeing them as what they are, a marvelous opportunity to study the divine word more and more and to grow in understanding of God and his holy word. Of course they are hard, but it's great. Repent of your attitude, which makes an hour reading God's word seem interminable, whereas an hour spent with fun activities passes in the twinkling of an eye. Repent of all smugness in regard to those who are theologically less enlightened, or maybe you just think that. These are not just foibles, part of being human, part of being a seminarian. They are examples of sin, of that from which you are called to turn away and embrace instead the good eternal will of God. To love your fellow students, to love your neighbors, to love even your enemies, and yes, also love your teachers. The church preaches repentance not only to those who do not belong to her, but also to her members. The church calls everybody to repentance based on this mandate of the Lord before he rises up in glory. She calls everybody to repentance to turn away from hate and selfishness and embrace love. Pastors are to preach this, and they also need to hear it. Yes, God will call you to repentance when you study Holy Scripture, but pastors also need the word preached to them. And thus there is the mutual counsel of the brethren. And thus there also is the fraternal admonition. And thus you need a spiritual brother, a father confessor, somebody who tells you, don't you see that log in your eye? Lest you become what you preach against. But where does the strength come from to turn away from the sin that permeates us till our dying day? How can we turn and embrace the new life? Only because we have received forgiveness of sins and thereby are set free from guilt. Only in the Holy Spirit, who comes to us from Christ, are we in that new life that can repent. But why does Jesus here single out forgiveness of sins? Why does he not talk about preaching the new life or preaching about empowerment? Because forgiveness is the foundation of the Christian's life, and forgiveness is the center. As Paul put it, Christ was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Out of the resurrection, the great absolution of the world, comes our absolution, our forgiveness of sin, our justification. Your sins are forgiven. That means you are free from the guilt that made you an enemy of God, that made you live under the sentence of death. And now you have life. Your sins are forgiven. God is no longer your enemy, but in Christ he has given himself to you as your Father. Your sins are forgiven. The past with all its darkness has no longer power over you. You are free from all the guilt your bad decisions caused and all the guilt that has haunted you. Your sins are forgiven in the name of Christ. There is nothing you have to do now to make up or make yourself acceptable, because Christ has done it all. Your sins are forgiven. This is now your life, the life of a forgiven child of God. You don't have to use your time and strength to make something of yourself, or to build up an existence, to get something or the most out of life. Because you have received a life. God has given you a life. You are already someone. Thus you are free from the fear to miss something. And the question is no longer, what can I get out of life? But rather, what can I give now that I'm so free and don't have to worry about my life anymore? You don't have to wonder, after 4 years of seminary and thousands of dollars of doubt, I don't even get a call to a position where, after paying my student debts off, I probably will have less than many of my classmates at high school reunion. You don't have to wonder, because you have chosen to live a life of giving, and there is no better life. It is sin that suggests to us, oh, you're missing out on so many good things. There is no better life than the life of giving, the life of service. That's the life Christ has chosen and lived. And that's not only for pastors true. Christian parents do the same thing. Christian parents who sacrifice for their children. And any Christian does this, lives this life of service, who does not put him or herself first and anything else second, but who seeks first God and his kingdom. And that means also serving his neighbor. Forgiveness sets you free from the past and opens up the present for love and gives you the future so that all worrying is pointless. This is the marvelous freedom of Christians. that is given to you through the preaching of Christ crucified and raised, which comes to you in repentance through the forgiveness of sins, now and in the promise he is about to give to you. This is my body given for you. This is the New Testament in my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This is the best preparation for the day when our ascended Lord will come again on clouds to judge the living and the dead. Because you have already heard and you hear it now what he will to say to you. And you believe that sentence, forgiven, not guilty. Thus, when our Lord comes again, it will not be the day of wrath for us. It will not be the day of mourning for us. But it will be the long-expected day of triumph. Until then, rejoice in the freedom that Christ has given to you and proclaim Christ, who has suffered and was raised. Preach repentance and the forgiveness of sins. Amen. Amen.